Ramsey TV.
Okay, I don't think there's any such thing as faking it till you make it today. Maybe I shouldn't even make a show today, but it's been an evil day. Maria and I went to the wound care center to look at this, to get some professionals finally to take a look at it. And really nice doctor there. I got to say, the people at that Holy Cross, right? That's a good one. Holy Cross Wound Care Center. They have hyperbaric chambers there, hyperbaric oxygen therapy there too. This is the best I can do as far as talking. So it's a really nice nurse, really jokey and everything. And, you know, I took off my band. She looked at it. She goes, okay, I think we need to put you on a bed. They had me on like a gurney thing sitting up. And she said, I think you're better off on a bed. So I knew I was in trouble already. So put me on the bed. The doctor comes in, asks questions about it. You know, how long have you had this and all that? And I told him about how I thought the infection got there. And somebody, one of the nurses said, well, it could have been, you know, when the cyst was cut, the infection could have been inside and then it came out. Like, it might not have been caused by the implements. And so, okay, well, yeah, could be. But then the doctor, I have to say, everybody was nice at that place. And I'm sorry, I really got to take time because I'm in real bad shape right now. I mean, I'm just so tired. And the doctor said, we got to take a biopsy of this. So he shot my neck with whatever, put some cream on it, and then he snipped 5 pieces out of me. And I'm just starting to feel it now. You know what I mean? It's really coming to me now. Because, you know, he looked at it and he said, nah, it just looks a little funny to me. What that means is, you know, he thinks there's a chance that it's, you know, the squamous cell carcinoma back. And I was cool about it, and I still am. I just think the worst. I told you I'm a pessimist since 2009. So I said, well, you know, if it is that, then what? He says, well, you know, if it's that, then you get a surgeon to take it off. And then they do some plastic surgery to make your neck look normal. They'll probably be able to take some skin from your neck and use that. They might have to take some from your chest or from your leg. I said, well, that sounds like a good time. And if it's not that, he said, well, then you're just in wound therapy. You know, we just treat it like a regular wound. And so they finally did pack it. This very nice nurse packed the hole with medicine and a gauze or whatever stuck in it. And did a professional bandage job. I said, now, how long can I leave this on? I said, how long can I leave this on? Because I'm going to make a scriptural point today. Don't worry. But I got to talk about this. Because you're my friends. Maybe 2 or 3 days. I said, that's terrific. Because I change this thing 8 times a day. 8 times a day. I can leave this on for 2 or 3 times a day. She said, yeah, but if it gets soggy again, you got to start doing your thing. Apparently, I might qualify for them sending a nurse over here to our apartment to change it every couple, 3 days. So that'd be awesome. So I guess Friday, I find out whether I have the dreaded squamous cell carcinoma again. And if I do, then I have to have a surgery. And so my sister Kelly still thinks, no, it's not it. But God bless her. Good, she can be the optimist. I just figure the worst. I mean, it's EM3, right? So, of course, I'm going to have it back. Of course. I'll take it out again. So anyway, I can't run. That sucks. Oh, I got to tell you something the doctor said. The scriptural point's coming up. It really is. It's coming up. Thanks for bearing with me. He says, well, I said, you know, I'm just going to think the worst, doctor. What was his name? Dr. Ward. He was a nice guy. Kind of a short guy. And a beard. Kind of pygmy-ish, you know, but regular size, but just a little pygmy-ish. You know? He said, well, like I said before, if it's just a wound, then we do wound therapy. If it's the other thing, then you start on a journey. And I'm thinking to myself, bullshit. See, this is how they think. And the bitch told me that at the other place. Remember, she said, oh, she said, remember, she looked at me and said, oh, this is a recurrence. And I said, well, I'll just get it taken off and that'll be it. Oh, no. No, it's a 10-year commitment. It's like, in their minds, they have you for 10 years. Because, of course, they're going to push the radiation on you, the chemo on you, constantly radiation, chemo, burn, and poison. And then they got to check it every day, and then every week, and every month, and every year. It's a 10-year I think I said, I'm not sure, maybe I just hope I said this, but I think I said, no, not for me. I'm just get surgery and I'm gone. Bye. And that's the way it is. It's ivermectin and that other stuff for me. Somebody sent that. What's the other stuff that goes with ivermectin? Anyway, I'm not going to submit. This is in the worst case scenario. Ivermectin. And there it is. Mebendazole. Mebendazole. I guess it's this miraculous stuff. And ivermectin in combination with mebendazole is deadly against the C word. I don't even like to say the word. You know, it's deadly. It's fantastic. If any of you have it, look this stuff up. It's powerful. Many, many hundreds of testimonies of people who have, boom, cured by ivermectin and mebendazole. So, that's going to be my route if. So, and I'll keep doing my other stuff that I'm doing. Journey my ass. Journey. I'm going to get surgery and say goodbye. I'm going to be on no freaking journey. Nice try. That's what they all think that. They got you for 10 years. No. So this nurse, really nice nurse. The doctor asked me, so what do you do for fun? While he was getting ready to do the biopsy. 5 snips. He took 5 pieces out of me. And I'm starting to feel it now. Really hurts. So he took 5 pieces on me and he says, well, what do you do for fun? I said, this. I said, seriously, I'm a writer and I'm a YouTuber. But then I was thinking, no, he said, what do you do for fun? You don't do that for fun. That's your work. I said, oh, I run for fun. I run. I told him I did a 66-mile run last March 12th. And everybody was impressed, the whole staff. They, wow. And the nurse there said, well, I went on a 3-day 75-mile walk. It was just a walk. I said, don't shoot yourself down. That's good distance. That's respectable. Great job. And then he eventually said, what do you write? So here we go, right? I don't like to talk about it unless prompted. I said, well, I write about spirituality. He goes, what kind of spirituality? Like biblical? I said, yes. Scriptural topics. I write some on relationships and sexuality. And then I made a joke, you know, stuff nobody's interested in. Sometimes people get that joke, sometimes they don't. It's like, yeah, I write about God, sex, and relationships, things nobody's interested in. I told that joke at one doctor's office of last year, I think. And the doctor, who's supposed to be smart, went to school for 50 years. He said, no, don't say that. Everybody. And the nurse that was standing by, she was smiling. She got the joke. She got the irony. She understood that I was being facetious. You know, God, sex, relationship, stuff nobody's interested. The doctor says, no, don't go hard on yourself. People be interested. The nurses laughed their ass off. She got me, totally. I don't think anybody got me today, but that's okay. So I told the doctor, I said, I don't think you need God. I mean, you don't need the institution to know God. In fact, I wrote a book called How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. He goes, yeah, I believe that too. I'm thinking, oh, this is good. This guy is good, all right. But then he brought up Eckhart Tolle. He goes, yeah, like Eckhart Tolle says, and inside I'm going like, oh, God. And he mentioned the book, The New Earth. And he said, like when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we take that the wrong way. Jesus didn't mean that he was the way, the truth, and the life. He meant that, like, I, Dr. Ward, you, Martin Zetter, we're the way, the truth, and the life. And I just, like, I'm dying inside, right? You don't want to make your doctor mad. That's one thing you don't want. I don't want to piss this guy off. So Eckhart Tolle is a New Age moron. The guy is obsessed by demons so bad, because I read that damn book. I was forced to read it. It was the worst book I ever read. No believer could get past page 4 of Eckhart Tolle's The New Earth without throwing the book out the window or against the wall. I didn't say any of this. I just said, yeah, Eckhart Tolle, yeah, he believes that we're God and that we don't need any outside God. I said, that's just not true. That's as far as I was willing to go. You don't piss off your doctor. See, you got to be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove, wise as a serpent. So the nurse was taking all this in. Oh, yeah, she was taking all this in. So she's the one that does the bandaging. And so I was talking, after I was talking to the doctor about running, I said, I can still run, I hope. He goes, yeah, running's good, running's healthy. But the nurse wasn't having it. She said, no, you can't run with this new bandage. You can't run for 2 or 3 days. I said, oh, come on. And Maria was there, and I knew that she was on the nurse's side. Both her names were Maria, so I was screwed. Totally. So, no, you can't run for 2 or 3 days. I'm thinking, oh, shit. This is going to be rough. I can't run for 2 or 3 days. I'm going to find out. I got squamous cell carcinoma and have to have surgery. It's going to be a great week for Zender. But then something happened. I tell you, I'm still not to the scriptural point, but this nurse says at the end, she's wrapping me like a mummy. She's got this giant long thing, and she's wrapping my neck. I said, well, whoa, you're making me a mummy. So it was like halfway up my chin. It was so embarrassing. I had to leave the hospital that way. When I got home, I took it off and put my own wrap on there. Anyway, she looked at me, and she made this gesture with her hand, and she said, and she said, look right at me. She said, if you can't, watch the screen, because she did this, okay? I'm not doing this, she did. If you can't run, you write. I'm thinking, oh my God. That felt like a word from God. If you can't run, you write. My response was, you know, that's a good word, because there's no one more miserable than a writer who's not writing, and that would be me. I'm a writer who's broadcasting. I'm a writer who's not writing. Don't worry, I'm not going to stop broadcasting. But this is a scriptural topic about the mind. I have negative thought about this whole thing. I'm negative. It's going to be bad news. Here's the question. Does my mind have any power to affect the outcome of that biopsy? No. All the positive thinking in the world isn't going to take a terrible biopsy and turn it into a clean biopsy. Nope. No positive thinking in the world. And I know there's some teaching out there that your mind can bend circumstances. Like, if you think it's going to be good weather tomorrow, there is going to be good weather. If you think that you're going to get a job, you will get a job. No, that's just not true. Your mind's not that powerful. That's not. But there is a way by extension it can do that, because this is what your mind can do. Your mind can change the inside. Oh, yes, your mind can change the inside. For that, I go to Philippians 4, starting with verse 5. Let your lenience be known to all men. The Lord is near. Always with the Lord is near, this Paul. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. And I'm not worried. I just expect to have that shit again. I'm not worried. I feel like crap. A little bit on a depressed side, obviously. I'm very tired. But I'm not worried about anything, so. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests may be made known to God. Okay, here on the air on MCTV, I'm going to make my requests made known to God. Because God tells me to. Okay, Lord Jesus, please make that biopsy like a funny cartoon. Like, make it so that it's clean. It's just an infection. There's no squamous cell carcinoma in my body. On my body, I should say. It's not in my body, it's on my body. That's the good news. It's not in my body. That's the good news. Okay, I'm thankful for that. It's not in, it's on. So they can take it off. Thank you, God, for that. But my request is that it's not even on my body. That it is a clean biopsy. It is a pure biopsy. It's sparkling like the New Jerusalem. That the biopsy comes down from the lab adorned like a bride for her husband. That is my prayer to you, O Lord. And now, the peace of God that has appeared every frame of mind shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. So, what did I do by making my request known to God? I just relieved myself of the problem. It's not on me. It's on God. I made it known to him. I wasn't joking around with that prayer. That was sincere. Yeah, it was entertaining at the same time, but it was sincere as could be. So he's on it. It doesn't say, and then God will grant your request. No, yeah, it doesn't say, let your request be made known to God, then God will grant your every request. No, it doesn't say that. It just says, and the peace of God that is superior to every frame of mind shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. Here's the point of the mind. That's how your mind changes your inside. Verse 8, chapter 4, Philippians. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is great, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is agreeable, whatever is renowned, if there is any virtue, and if any applause, be taking these into account. You might as well say, take these into yourself. I can't affect anything outside of myself. What I said by extension, you possibly could, is if you think on these things and it gives you a peaceful state of mind, people can pick up on that peace, and it could be that you could change the way people interact with you if you're a happy person, if you're a peaceful person. If you're a peaceful person, then other people will interact with you in a way that they won't if you, because people pick up your vibes. People pick that up. So in that way, you can change your surroundings in that you can affect the people outside of you by having this frame of mind. But I can't change the weather with my mind. I can't change this diagnosis with my mind. I'm not going to even try. I'm not going to have to get a prayer circle together. We all know that prayer circles work. I'm afraid of prayer circles because they're so strong, so effective. I would feel that it was my will, not God's will, if I had a prayer circle. So I want to make a prayer square. I need three other people to form the prayer square. That's doomed to failure, you know. So I don't want to think that I influenced God and God changed his plan because of me. So I'll get together a prayer square and screw everything up. Now, this is all just to relieve you, just to let you put it on God. God has it. He knows my trials. He knows what's ahead for me. He already knows what that damn biopsy is. All five of them. Why do you have to cut me in five different places? I got five different pieces of shit going on in here, I guess. So think of on these things. Renowned things, pure things, grave, true. And if any applause, be taking these into account. And I like this verse 9. What you learned also and accepted and hear and perceived in me. These be putting into practice. Yeah, just put this stuff into practice. What you believe, put it into practice. Show grace to others as God shows grace to you. And the God of peace will be with you, of course. Oh, God, I need to stop talking, but I have to read you a text I just got right before the show. This was meant to be read to you. I'm not going to say who this is because I don't know how private it is. This was sent to me, so there's no way I can name this person, but what a text. And I read this right before I turned on the camera. I wasn't planning on doing it. Hey, Martin, I watched your video today, and it truly makes me understand the suffering we go through. Having said that, I think I'm going to read that guide that was asked AI about me and the Apostle Paul and suffering in the body of Christ. I think I am going to read that this week. I watched your video. I'm going to end after this. I watched your video today, and it truly makes me understand the suffering we go through. I am now alone more than ever because I realized both sides of my family are controlling narcissists. This is awful. I realized they have made love conditional all my life, and I've been manipulated all my life. So now I have blocked all of my family out of my life and strict boundaries. Only people who bring peace into my life are allowed in. All I can think about is God. It's like now I'm forever in the quiet place. And all I need is God, and I'll be okay. It feels as if I am living my own book of scripture. Every day I go to work, and I talk to God all day, every day, because he's the only one who's truly there for me. That's just what Paul said in Philippians, just what Paul said. It's another level of suffering, completely and utterly alone. I now understand why he gave me such weight to bear. He knows I can hold that much on my soul now after years of refining me like silver. I'm to the point now where I can laugh in the devil's face and tell him, God still loves you, you fool. Ha ha. I hope you are doing okay. For me, I'm to the point now. My soul is exhausted, and it is crying out to God so loudly in the silence, and only he can hear the tears. Peace and love, brother. Thank you for that.